So this has probably happened to most of us, I would bet. You know, that kind of weird moment when you're working late, you're at your office, you're in your cubicle, and the cleaning crew comes to tidy up the office. For me, that's when I know I've been here way too long, time to go home. And then there's this weird kind of interaction you have with the cleaning person. Maybe you flash a quick smile or a nod. You want to acknowledge them. You're happy they're taking out your garbage, cleaning up your mess. But it's also kind of awkward because they're cleaning up your mess.
It's
And
embarrassing
it's
sometimes.
embarrassing, and I'm kind of messy. And so you look at them, and you're kind of apologizing with your eyes, and you're trying to be, not obtrusive, and moving your feet as they vacuum. So this is this kind of office dance, this ritual that's repeated thousands of times a day in offices around the country. And this is something that our friend of the BPP, Jared Sandberg, has taken on and investigated, and he wrote about it in his column, Cubicle Culture. It's a column he does for the Wall Street Journal. And his piece yesterday had this lovely title, Cleaning Staffs Keep Offices from Ripening into Lab
God
Experiments.
bless him.
I know it. And Jared is on the phone. Hey, Jared.
Morning.
Good morning. I'm going to start out by asking you, what are the most disgusting things that we do in office cubicle spaces? What are the biggest offenses?
I think from the cleaning staff's point of view, it is clearly the ingredients we add to what I'll call garbage juice.
What's that?
Throwing half a cup of coffee into your trash bin.
Oh, I do that.
Another ingredient is balsamic vinaigrette. Any liquid of any kind that sort of ferments in the trash can, any half-eaten sandwich, half-eaten egg, things like this. This is all a real potential danger for the crew because they empty the bin into a much larger bin, and then they have to remove that from a can. And at any point in time, and this happened to me when I was accompanying a cleaning staff, the bag exploded,
Oh,
and
no.
you can get nailed with this
Garbage juice.
garbage juice.
Ew, I imagine it doesn't smell too good either.
No.
Now, in addition to looking at all these gross habits that we have, you analyze this relationship between people at their desks and the people who come to clean those desks. And what did you find out about that relationship? What's interesting about it?
Well, it strikes me. I think that what you experience, what I experience, what I think a lot of us experience is guilt that someone is dealing with our flotsam and jetsam. It is not, we discard it and we hope not to think about it. And they deal with it. Now, the interesting point about this is, there's a cleaning lady in our office who wears a button, which I totally appreciate, which says, "Don't worry, I don't remember your name either." But clearly, there are a lot of cleaners who are veterans of these offices. They develop relationships with these people. They do know their name, but generally, it is chit-chat, and people don't engage with them in serious conversations. So you may not know that they have two kids in college or things like that, and you don't really get too deep into the conversation. I have to say, a lot of these cleaners do not mind this at all. In fact, what was most interesting to me is that they really did tend to love the job for very legitimate reasons. They're not morning people, so they like to work a late shift. They don't feel as confined as we do in cubicles. They think that sitting at a desk for 8 hours is extremely boring and would be hellish. So, in many ways, what was so interesting about it is how little they think of what our job would be like. And, many of them make a decent wage, particularly unionized employees here in New York who make $20 an hour.
So we actually put our producer, Ian Chillag, to the task of talking with the woman who so bravely cleans our offices to kind of explore what you're talking
She's
about.
a hero.
What are her opinions about our space and our habits? And we have a little bit of that conversation. Let's play it.
My name is Kumria Hadzik. I make sure the office is clean.
Okay, and we're standing here in BPP offices here in New York. How messy are we?
You are not messy. It's everything. It's fine for me. I love to come to work in this, floor.
Really? No, of everybody here, who's the messiest?
Oh, I can't say that.
So what happens in the office is, you know, it's secret.
Yeah.
It's secret.
Okay, here's a clue to who's the messiest. It's also who's the loudest. Did you hear the voice in the background of that? Mike Pesca.
Mike Pesca.
Matt and I walked around the offices today and looked at everybody's desk. Pesca has Tupperware on his desk open, a crinkled up napkin, an open box of Tasty Cakes, and there was something else that I can't remember exactly, and I've probably just blocked it out of my mind. Is there one in every office, Jared?
There are several in every office. What's really interesting is that, you know, the offices that we were cleaning were the headquarters of a retailer, which was made up of largely what seemed to me to be young women. They were extremely tidy. But when you went into a sales office for a different, like, communications company, it was awful. There was just stuff in there, and what was scaring me is that you would look at this carpet. I couldn't tell what color the carpet was originally. You know, it had been stained so much. And every time the cleaners would sort of thrust the vacuum, you would hear these what sounded like large pebbles rattling through the vacuum. I had no idea. You couldn't see. They weren't. You couldn't see them with the naked eye. You know, the carpet was so stained it camouflaged everything. But that place gave me the creeps, and I just thought, wow. You know, I mean, this is really, in some ways, culture-oriented, because clearly there's a vast disparity from office to office.
Well, we in public radio try to keep it clean, but I don't know how well we do. This has made me convinced, though, that I need to make some serious changes, because there are people who have to deal with my big fat mess, and I'm going to change it. Hey, Jared Sandberg, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Jared writes the Wall Street Journal's Cubicle Culture column.
That does it for this hour of the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're always available online at npr.org/Bryant Park. I'm Allison Stewart.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin.
This is the BPP from NPR News. We're going to reform our ways and clean.
Are we?
Yeah, we are. I don't know. Pesca? I don't know. I'm not sure.